This is 91.9 KVCR. Good morning. I'm Ken Vincent. On Fridays, we talk with former Press Enterprise columnist and longtime KVCR news contributor Cassie McDuff. We review a few of the big news stories from around the Inland Empire over the past week. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Ken.
A local assemblywoman's whistleblower protection became law after four attempts over 4 years.
Right. This is Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez, a Republican of Lake Elsinore. She introduced this initially in 2014 in the wake of the ethical scandals that resulted in three state senators being suspended. The measures easily passed in the assembly, but every time they got hung up in a Senate committee and never got voted on until this time. I think what changed was the sexual harassment scandals that started with Harvey Weinstein and extended all the way into newsrooms and even NPR and the state capitol. The Me Too movement, which in the state capitol became the We Said Enough movement, that kind of gave this bill new momentum. Melendez also worked on getting bipartisan support this time. She got 60 legislators, both Democrats and Republicans, to sign on as co-authors, and it did get unanimous support in the state assembly, and it cleared the Senate as well. And in fact, after it passed on Monday, the governor signed it into law in record time, and it takes effect immediately. What this measure specifically does is give legislative staff the same protections against retaliation that staff in the executive and judicial branches of the state government already had, which means if anyone who reports illegal or unethical activity or sexual harassment is protected from retaliation.
Okay, next, another controversial issue that now has a local focus. Riverside County supervisors passed a resolution supporting DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And in related news, a local member of Congress has helped craft bipartisan legislation in Congress to try to end the deadlock on DACA.
Right. And we'll start with the Riverside County Board of Supervisors. They passed this resolution, as you said, in favor of a bipartisan federal bill to continue protections for people who were brought into the country illegally as children through no fault of their own. It does not include people who've committed a crime. Anybody who's committed a crime is not protected from deportation. It's largely a symbolic vote by the Board of Supervisors. It was introduced by Supervisor Marion Ashley and Supervisor Manuel Perez, who, you know, traditionally may be at opposite ends of the political spectrum. Mm-hmm. But Ashley said, you know, this is a message to Congress that it's possible to compromise on an issue in which there's the public opinion is pretty unanimous that childhood arrivals, or dreamers as they're called, deserve to remain in the country.
And that local member of Congress, that we've been hearing his name on NPR quite a bit and reading it in the papers at the national level for what he is doing to try to get DACA moving along.
Right. That's Congressman Pete Aguilar. He's a Democrat from Redlands. And he teamed up with a Republican Congressman, Will Hurd of Texas, and they introduced a bill that they say is narrowly crafted so it doesn't try to address all of the immigration reforms that are causing so much disagreement, but it would protect dreamers, allow them to apply for permanent residency, and increase funding for border security, not build a wall as such, but improve the technological means of policing the border, as well as physical barriers where necessary. That bill was introduced 3 weeks ago in the House. On Monday, it was introduced in the Senate by Senator John McCain, a Republican of Arizona, and Senator Christopher Coons, a Democrat of Delaware. And the bill is called Uniting and Securing America Act, or the USA Act.
Ah, okay. And finally, earlier this week, the Riverside City Council approved a new contract for the city manager. And then something unusual happened.
That's right. This was a 5-2 vote in favor of extending City Manager John Russo's contract. That happened earlier in the meeting. The meeting continued, and at the end of business, suddenly Mayor Rusty Bailey announced that he was vetoing the contract extension, and he adjourned the meeting abruptly, or tried to. Several council members were trying to speak. The city attorney was trying to speak, and Bailey kept repeating that the meeting was adjourned, and Bailey eventually kind of by default reopened the meeting by giving a longer explanation of why he was doing this veto and why he had the right to adjourn the meeting. And so the meeting kind of reopened itself. And then the city attorney was allowed to speak, and he gave the opinion that the mayor actually doesn't have the power to veto council action on a city manager contract. The mayor can veto ordinances and resolutions and ministerial actions like that, but not the contracts for the top administrative officers like the city manager and city attorney. The mayor announced that he had gotten a separate legal opinion from an outside legal counsel saying that he can, but the city attorney reminded him that he, Gary Geis, is the sole legal advisor to the city council and that Bailey's only recourse is to go to court and ask a court to decide if he has the power to veto this contract.
Just very quickly, can we tell what Mayor Bailey's problem with the city manager contract was?
Well, sure. The city manager had asked that the contract be extended. His contract actually was to expire in 2020, but he said rather than wait until an election year when the mayor's office is up for election, it would be better to create a long-term contract now so that the city manager and all of his top administrators know that they're going to have stability, because otherwise he expressed the concern that they would leave if they didn't know whether they were going to get the support of a new council or a new mayor if one is elected. The mayor said that it's just not a good time to extend a new contract like this, an expensive contract. The city manager's salary is almost $324,000 a year, that it's not a good idea to extend it now when the city is going to be facing budget cutbacks and some employees' unions may not get the raises that this contract guarantees the city attorney. Some layoffs may take place and that kind of thing.
So we could see this fight continue, perhaps, if Mayor Bailey decides to press the point and try to get an opinion from a judge.
Well, the mayor did tell the Press Enterprise that he may exercise that right to take it to court.
Cassie McDuff, thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Cassie McDuff is a longtime Inland Empire journalist and a regular Friday morning contributor to 91.9 KVCR. You can hear Cassie's segments at our website, kvcrnews.org. This segment is made possible by the Southern California News Group, publisher of the Press Enterprise, San Bernardino Sun, Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, and other Southern California newspapers.